today. I want to first thank you all for your prayers for Ethan and Jesse and the things that you've, the kindnesses that you've shown over the last few months during their engagement and things that you've done for them. When we came to Elliottsville, I believe Ethan was in second grade, so a lot of you have been around to see him grow up, and we appreciate all that you have done to help us raise him. And it was a big day and beautiful day, and I think he's found a good one in Jesse. And, you know, just keep them in your prayers as they begin their life together. This morning, had a mistake in the bulletin, I guess, because we had the scripture reading from last week, but we're not going to worry about that or be anxious about that. We're going to continue on in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 6. This is probably one of the most popular verses in the world. If people don't know any other verse in the Bible, they know Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1. Judge not, that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. So as I said, it's probably one of the most well-known and most quoted scriptures, and the one that's taken out of context the most. Judgment is made. And when a judgment is made against another, often this is something that's pulled out and says, well, the Bible says you can't judge me. You can't judge me. How dare you question me or suggest that I'm wrong, because we're not to judge. And so this is used to teach that zero judgment should be made about anybody and anything. And is this really what Jesus meant? Well, it doesn't take you very long to see that that's not what Jesus meant if you continue on and read the context of what Jesus is saying. So the question, does Jesus mean that we should leave each other alone and not make any judgments regarding sin? Certainly, that's a question that we ought to look at, and we will this morning. So I would like you to see, so we know clearly what it is the Bible teaches on this, that to take this interpretation of Jesus' words to say that we can't make any judgments at all is clearly not what is consistent with what's taught in the Scriptures. And in I had a computer crash this morning, and I don't know if I got all my verses in here or not, but we'll see. Not sure that I have everything that I want to have here. In fact, I can absolutely tell that I don't. So you won't see it up on the screen, but you can just listen. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 15 tells us the scriptural person judges all things. So Paul tells us that the person that is spiritual judges all things. So here's an opportunity that we are to use to judge, or a situation in which we are to judge. Also in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 12 through 13, Paul says, what have I to do with judging outsiders? Is it not those inside the church whom you are to judge? God judges those outside. So here the context is Paul saying, don't worry about those in the world. You've got some problems here within the church you need to take care of, and let God take care of those others, but is it not those inside the church you are to judge? Oh, I thought we weren't to judge. No, Paul says you are to judge. Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 says, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preached to you, let him be accursed. Now, the word judge is not used there in particular, but how would you decide whether or not somebody is doing that? If somebody is bringing you a message that's not consistent with the Scriptures, if somebody's bringing you a gospel that's contrary to the one, you know, Paul preached, you'd have to make a judgment about that, wouldn't you? In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits or judge the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. Also in Galatians chapter 2, verse 11, it says, when Cephas came to Antioch, or Peter came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. Matthew chapter 18, verse 15, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, who have gained your brother. So you have to make a judgment about, you know, what it is that your brother is doing before you can go and carry that out. And John chapter 7, verse 24 tells us that do not judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment or righteous judgment. Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 and 16 says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, that inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruit. So you have to make a judgment about that. You have to be a fruit inspector. You have to be able to judge what's a sheep and what's a wolf, or what is a wolf in sheep's clothing. So clearly, you know, with these few examples here, you can see that we are to make judgments. I think this is probably pretty rudimentary for us to understand that. In fact, in this very text, Jesus is condemning judgment, because if we are determining our brother or sister in Christ has a speck in their eye, and we're not looking at ourselves, and we'll say more about that in a minute. So there's a judgment being made here. He's talking about you looking at them and not looking at yourself. So what's being said here is that, oh, well, you can't ever make a judgment. You can't judge anything. That's not what Jesus is saying. So we can look at this context here and we can see what the proper interpretation of this is. What Jesus is saying is that there are some reasons, you know, not to judge when you look at verses 2 through 4. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So Jesus taught not to judge others, because with the judgment that you pronounce, you're going to be judged. And so this explanation is showing that Jesus is not saying, okay, well, everything that's a righteous judgment, everything that's a godly judgment, I want you to throw that away. I don't want you to do that. No, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about human judgments. He's talking about unrighteous judgments, unfair judgments, being unreasonable. And so what he's saying is that you want to be fair. You want to be reasonable. Be careful on how you judge others, and think about, would you want to be judged in the same way? Do you want God to judge you mercifully? Do you want God to judge you fairly? Then you should judge others fairly, and you should judge others with mercy. And so verses 3 and 4 really help us to understand what it is that Jesus is dealing with this issue. Verses 3 and 4 says, why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, first let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is a log in your own eye? And so Jesus pictures here this person that is able to see everyone else's faults, but is unable to see their own. And so it's easy to do that. It's easy to judge other people. And I was watching a television show this morning, and it was talking about a particular network who has a particular disdain for somebody that's in office. And the person on the show had counted how many times somebody had made grammatical errors and how many times they had said a certain statement. You know, and so it was, you know, what I'm going to do is I'm going to sit around and I'm going to count how many times somebody repeats something. And when I was at Florida College, there was a teacher that licked his lips a lot. And we called him a lizard because of the way he licked his lips. And so, you know, did we ever listen to anything that he said? No, but we knew how many times he stuck out his tongue. Because it was distracting. And really, we should have been listening to what he said. And each faculty member, you know, took turns speaking in the assembly that we had every day. And so the week that he spoke, you know, how many times did he do it today? 34. 34 times he licked his lips. And so, you know, you concentrate, and my dad would call it being nitpicky. You're being nitpicky on things like that and not really concentrating on what you ought to do. And certainly people can be that way in regard to others. They can look at somebody that they don't like, somebody that they have disdain for, and pick apart everything it is that they do and every little mistake that they make. Several years ago at camp, we had a post-camp survey, and so we take a survey of what the staff, you know, thinks ought to be changed for the next year, and it's online form. And we had somebody that couldn't fit all their comments in on the online form, and they gave me a 5-page document. They said that we needed something other than ranch dressing, and because people don't always like ranch dressing, and that we had cornbread one day without butter, and that was a crime, and that the person that was advancing the PowerPoint slides on our singing was doing it a half second too fast. And I'm serious. And so, you know, this is camp, you know, that we're supposed to be roughing it. And so, but sometimes you see that people are that way, and they are so hypercritical about every detail. And Jesus is making that point here, that, oh, you're so good at picking out faults in others that they've got a tiny, minuscule spot in their eye, and you can see that. And so Jesus is using a humorous example here. It's hyperbole that you see this speck, just literally this thing that is so small in the eye of another person, and you can look so closely at that and examine their life to the finest detail, but you can't see this log that's protruding out of your own eye. And, you know, literally the word means like a large beam of wood that's used in construction. And so it's ridiculous, isn't it, when you see this humorous illustration. You see that splinter in another person, but you don't see this wood truss coming out of your own eye. So how does that happen? How is it possible for a person not to be able to see that glaring plank of wood coming out of their own eye? It's because we sometimes pay a lot more attention to other people than we do ourselves. We are much more critical with others than we are ourselves, and look at their problems and issues and don't see our own failures and shortcomings. And so there's a word for that, and it's self-righteousness. And we condemn others, but we justify ourselves. And so we're very good at making excuses for ourselves when we make a mistake or we have gone down the wrong path, and we can understand what led up to that and why we failed, or why we didn't follow through on something that we said we were going to do, and we make excuses. But when it's others, you know, we're not so forgiving. And that's the point that Jesus is making. You need to be careful about how it is that you judge others. Be careful when you judge. Do you want to be judged in the same way that you are judging? You who nitpick, you who look at specks in others' eyes. So you pass judgment on another person for something they're doing, but when it comes to you, you have a good reason for doing so. So you judge others without understanding. You judge others without compassion. James gave us a warning about this. In James chapter 1, verse 22, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror. He looks at himself and goes away and forgets what he was like." So we're not to look in the mirror and see ourselves and just, you know, walk away. This is arrogance and self-righteousness when we see the wrong thing. When we look at ourselves and we don't see what needs to be changed. So it's very sad, spiritually speaking, when we look into the mirror of God's Word and we can't see anything, you know, that needs to be changed. We can't see any area in which we need to grow. I don't think there's any of us that could open this book and just, you know, yeah, that's me. That's describing me. And so we can close it up and not grow. It's very sad that people can be that way. So we judge others but don't see ourselves, and we don't judge ourselves. That is the point that Jesus is making. He's not saying don't judge, but you need to turn your eyes toward yourself before you're picking somebody else apart. So what does Jesus say about those who do this? In verse 5, he says that they are hypocrites. You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. So Jesus calls us hypocrites when we engage in this behavior, when we judge others in a way that we would not judge ourselves. So why would we hold others to a different standard than we hold ourselves to? You know, what's the solution to that? Well, look at yourselves before you look at others. Think about your own sin and your own failing before you confront others with their shortcomings. Judge your life by the same judgment that you're going to use to judge somebody else. And so when you see this, you can properly understand the context of what Jesus is saying. He says, judge not. Don't judge with hypocritical judgment. Do you want people to be, you know, fault finders in your life? Do we enjoy being around that kind of person that is going to find every, you know, fault that you can? In the past, I knew someone who was very good at telling me every spelling error that I made in the bulletin. That person's not here now, but I could depend on that person to tell me if there was any mistake in the bulletin that was going to be pointed out. And, you know, I can't remember a whole lot else that person ever said to me, but always made a point to tell me those things. And so, yeah, that was fun. So do you want somebody to do that? Do you want somebody to bring up every mistake that you make? I understand that we need, you know, people to bring things to our attention, but you understand the point that's being made here by Christ. Do you want somebody to pick you apart for every shortcoming and find that speck? No, he's saying look at yourself first. And if you don't want others doing that to you, then why do you do that to others? Measure yourself by the same judgment that you're going to use to measure others, and that will make us not be so fast with our judgments. Paul Earnhardt had summed it up this way in one of his writings. He said, "Our own accurate understanding of kingdom righteousness should not produce in us a spirit of harsh, censorious judgment toward those who are having a struggle of it. Men need to be helped to see the nature of true righteousness, but not by an uncaring and self-righteous hypocrite who is more concerned with the sins of others than his own. If the sermon is first applied rigorously at home, we will easily find the compassion and humility to treat the sins of others." And one thing that should be noted here, when you see that there are those that will point to verse 1, "Judge not that you be not judged," and rightly, it's good to point out the context here. It is not inferred that you leave the faults alone. That, okay, it's okay to leave that speck in their eye. You see that it says take the log out of your own eye first, and then you'll be able to see clearly to remove the speck. So it's the admonition here is, oh, well, we're just going to ignore everything. But the admonition is not to use hypocritical judgment and to use the same judgment on yourself that you would on someone else. And I think that really would would solve a lot of problems, wouldn't it, if we would think about that first. Am I treating this person the way that I want to be treated? And the next part of next lesson in this series is on the golden rule, and that's what that's all about. You know, treating others in the same way that you would want to be treated. So Jesus is teaching us to make proper judgments. And, you know, this next verse may, in my Bible, it forms a new paragraph when it comes to verse 6. Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. So it kind of gives you the idea that we're turning the page here to another topic. What does this have to do with judgment? Well, let's think about that. Is this a new point, or is this helping us understand the previous one as well? So what we see is that Jesus is not saying that we should never judge, and he's not saying that we should never make any kind of evaluations at others. The point is that we're going to make proper, godly evaluations and judgments of others. And here's an example of making a judgment. I believe that this is how this ties in, is that God is telling us, okay, well, you've got to determine who's a dog and who's a swine. You're going to have to make a judgment about that. And so what is being said, and the warning here is not to waste your time with those who have no interest in the gospel or have no interest in being a disciple of Jesus. Now, you know, what were pigs considered to be in that day? Well, they were counted as unclean under the law of Moses. And dogs are not considered to be the lovable, you know, pets like we have, but dogs are inferred and generally thought of in this day to be wild and be savage. And so that in that context is the way that they're being used. So the point is that the pigs and the dogs want scraps of food. You know, they don't want what is good. You're not going to give what is good to these animals because they don't really want what's good. And so you are called to judge or to identify, you know, who are the dogs and who are the pigs. And so this is not meant to be a characterization of the person, but an understanding of how it is that they treat the gospel and the way that they have no respect for the gospel. It's describing their spiritual condition. They're not going to appreciate the message. And they are an antagonist to the gospel. And they're not, you know, going to respond to it. You know, what would you feed a pig? You feed them just about anything, right? I mean, you know, my dad grew up on a farm, and what they did is they were going to go and slop the pigs. And you don't have to describe what slop is, but slop is anything that came out of the kitchen, right? Anything that was waste is going to go in a bucket, and you're going to take the slop bucket out to the pigs, and the pigs don't look at that and say, the presentation of this is horrible. You know, they're just going to, you know, where's my appetizer? This looks gross. It would be, here's the illustration that might match the idea. You don't take your children when they're little to Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. You know, the gas place, pile all the kids in the van, take them to Ruth's Chris. Are they going to appreciate that? No, they'd appreciate McDonald's just as good, wouldn't they? They would like going to McDonald's just as well. And so you're not going to take little kids to Ruth's Chris because they're not going to appreciate it. And Jesus is saying here that the gospel message, if somebody's not going to appreciate it and they're going to cast it away and they're going to be as discerning with that as dogs and pigs would, you know, then don't waste your time with that. The scriptures give us this kind of warning. In Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 9, do not speak in the hearing of a fool, because he will despise the wisdom of your words. And I do understand that there are those that need the gospel, and do we just need to determine that, well, somebody is a fool or somebody's a dog or somebody's a pig, so we're not going to bring the gospel to them? I don't think that's what Jesus is teaching at all, is that we give up on somebody too early. But there is a time that you need to move on. I see people on social media all the time arguing with people that are never going to see the point that's being made. And I just assume that maybe they're making the arguments for somebody else that may be reading, you know, for somebody else's benefit, because the person that they're trying to convince is never going to be convinced, and it's really obvious. I see people that is their hobby to teach false doctrine, and they've been doing it for years, and they throw out hand grenades into social media to try to get a reaction, and they do, and then people start arguments and start trying to teach them, and it doesn't go anywhere. And I think this is an example of pearls and pigs, that you are wasting your time on this person that has drawn a line in the sand, that they have decided that they're going to be rebellious, and you could probably be a lot more productive talking to someone who has an open heart. Paul said it this way in Acts chapter 13. It says, "The next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began to contradict what was spoken by Paul, reviling him. And Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly, saying, 'It was necessary that the word of God be spoken first to you, since you thrust it aside and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Behold, we are turning to the Gentiles.'" So here you see, you know, Paul is stating exactly what Jesus stated in a different way, that you don't want this. You don't want the gospel. And so, you know, we're moving on. We're going to teach the Gentiles now. We're going to go see if we can find some open ears. So at some point, in the context of what we see in Matthew chapter 7, we have to make a determination of when our efforts in righteousness are not fruitful, and you come to a point that I've done all that I can do. I've said all that I can say. And there's no use in continuing to try to carry that conversation further. And so Jesus is using this as an example of making a judgment. You have to make a judgment and make sure that your efforts are not in vain. You say what needs to be said. You've done what needs to be done. Don't cast the pearls of the gospel to those who will have none of it. They've made that decision. So this is a very practical section of Scripture that's abused a lot and is really not understood the way that Jesus intended it to be understood. Jesus never told us to not judge. He's telling us not to judge hypocritically. Don't use a judgment that you wouldn't want applied to yourself. Consider what you want applied to yourself before you apply it to others. Don't be hypocritical in your teaching or application of God's word to others. And we are required to make righteous judgments. One area that just popped into my head here regarding this subject is that we need to be careful that we don't make some sins more egregious than others. And one thing that's interesting is there are so many people that will speak out against sins of perversion, against homosexuality, or same-sex marriage today, but they may have had 12 marriages in their life, or they may be committing fornication all the time. And so they strongly believe in God's plan for marriage between a man and a woman, but they don't practice God's plan for marriage or God's plan for purity in their life. And so we can't cherry pick what parts of the law that we want to make real important and talk about those and leave the others alone. That would be an example of hypocritical judgment, that you're not going to apply all of God's law, that you find, well, this person is practicing this, so I'm going to talk about that, but we're not going to talk about you know, the sins that I readily accept and engage in my life. We need to be consistent in applying all of the scriptures to ourselves and to others and to teach those. So we do know that there are those in the world that are not going to listen to the Word of God. We know that there are those that don't want to hear and won't respond and will show contempt for God. As the Scriptures tells us, we shake the dust off of our feet and we work with those who are responsive. But let's also be careful of you know, making that judgment in advance and say, well, making a prejudgment that they're never going to accept it because just look at them. You know, look at Paul. Who would have thought that Paul would have been somebody that would be on their list of potential converts? But he was, and he was the one that brought the gospel, you know, to the Gentiles. So let's not be too quick to determine that somebody is a dog or a swine and give up on them, but we also need, this is the area in which we need to make a judgment about when is it that we come to the point that it's not a productive use of our time. So Jesus tells us there are areas in which we need to make judgments, but the main point here is to don't use hypocritical judgments and judge others in the same way that you would judge yourself. And so I hope this is useful to you and gives you a better understanding of this section of Scripture. Next week we will be talking about the Golden Rule and as we continue to study in the Sermon on the Mount. If we can help you in any way today to be obedient to the gospel of Christ, perhaps you've been putting off what it is that you know that you need to do. There's no better time to do that because we don't have the promise of tomorrow. If you know what it is that you need to do, we'd be glad to help you in any way that we can as we stand and sing.